Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find our show and thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds of Brain Trust members. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday by email, Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. Our blog is updated every weekday. Lots of other stuff there you can find on the site. And also our small business knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers right now, instantaneously. So check that out when you get a chance. Dr. Regina Herzlinger, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She's a professor at the Harvard Business School. She's a tenured professor there. In fact, the first woman to be tenured at the Harvard Business School at Harvard. And she is also a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, which many of you know quite a bit about because of all the different folks we've had on the show from the Manhattan Institute. She's the author of a book that I believe is a very important book called Who Killed Healthcare? And she's our new friend. Dr. Herzlinger, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. And I want you to know, my audience knows, that I am a strong proponent and have been for a long time of consumer-driven healthcare, which is a term basically I think you coined that term. And I believe that Americans need to become healthcare consumers, not just healthcare patients. What do you think?
Absolutely. Think of the word patients. How demeaning is that? You be patient. My time is very valuable.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not very patient either. That word doesn't fit me very well. So one of the things that I think we have in America is we have a 20th century healthcare construct in terms of the way we deliver healthcare and the way we fund healthcare, but we don't live in the 20th century anymore. We live in the 21st century. Things here are different. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto, as Dorothy said, and so we've got all these different systems working against each other with the reality of what we need and the legacy of what we have. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think the employer-based health insurance system is very harmful. It's harmful for big companies because healthcare costs are so expensive that they're becoming outcompeted in a globalized market. If General Motors spends $1,600 on healthcare and Toyota $100 per car on healthcare, right, GM is essentially out of business.
That's right.
But it's a big problem for small businesses. Most of the people who work in small businesses, which after all are the lifeblood of the U.S. economy, those people don't have health insurance, and small business owners simply cannot afford the expensive, bloated costs of our health care system.
Well, that's exactly what's going on, and in many states, as you know, Professor, in many states, the every insurance policy that's issued is mandated to have certain things, and we can't afford. At my age, I'm not going to have any more children. Why would it be required that I have fertility coverage?
Yeah,
for my family. And the many states are like that, as you know.
Yeah, I think the mandates are a problem. But the biggest problem is not the mandates, but rather that when individuals buy health insurance on their own, they cannot receive the same kind of tax protection as when a company buys it for them.
Same thing for small business owners because of the way most of our small businesses are structured, either sole proprietorships, partnerships, LLCs, or subchapter S corporations. We don't get the same benefits that a C corporation does, like a big company.
That's a terrific point. So we have to change that. We have to make sure that no matter who you are, you get tax-protected money to enable you to buy health insurance. And when consumers are purchasing health insurance, we not only are much more likely to get rid of these ridiculous mandates, but I think even more important, consumers are going to make the healthcare delivery system, which is the core reason that our healthcare costs are so high, mm-hmm. when consumers do the shopping, they're going to make it slimmer and meaner than it presently is.
One thing about American consumers, we're pretty darn good at what we do, aren't we?
Absolutely. Look at what we did to the automobile industry. Look mm-hmm. at what we did in clothing. Look at what we did in food. Wherever it is that the American consumers do the shopping and not somebody else shopping on their behalf, they bring down prices and they raise quality. We really need that in healthcare.
So how would you fix the current healthcare system?
Well, one thing that we clearly need is tax protection. So Harvard University would cash me out, and they would give me the $10,000 to $15,000 of my salary that they've spent to buy health insurance for me. I'd get that money. I wouldn't pay taxes on that money, mm-hmm. and I would get a tax deduction or tax credit for the health insurance that I bought. But I'll tell you, Harvard, wonderful as it is, it's bought me a Mercedes when all I really want is a Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
And once I buy that Toyota, I'm going to be very, very conscious of my health care costs that aren't covered by the
because
Toyota.
It's now the money in your hands, it's not monopoly money somebody else is spending.
It's always been my money, but yeah. I don't view it as my money. We pay for the $2 trillion in our healthcare system. Our money pays for the taxes that go in. Our money enables employers to buy health insurance for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of murky because of this peculiar tax treatment.
Well, it's like the old feudal system, isn't it? I mean, it's the Lord Corporation taking care of us serfs, basically.
Well, I think corporations would love to get out of it.
I'm sure they would.
I've been on the boards of many large companies. I've never met a CEO who loved health insurance.
When we come back after these messages, Professor Herzlinger is going to explain to us where we're stuck. Why can't we make this happen? And what are the chances it will happen over the next few years? It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Regina Herzlinger is our guest. Her book is called Who Killed Healthcare?
And balanced on the precipice, the more.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Dr. Regina Herzlinger. Professor Herzlinger is the author of Who Killed Healthcare? She's a tenured professor at Harvard Business School, and her book is a very important book, folks, and I encourage you to check it out and find out more about what we've got to do. If you want to see a textbook it's not written that way, but if you want to see a book that lays out, that outlines step by step what we have to do, folks, to get our healthcare system, the entire healthcare system, the funding, the consumption, and the delivery of healthcare. If you want to find out how to get all that in a better shape, this book will help you. Who Killed Healthcare? Professor, tell us where the book's available.
It's just go to Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, click and buy it.
All right, check it out. Professor, where are we stuck? You and I both are in agreement on this. There are a lot of other people who are in agreement on this. There are plenty of people. Our mutual friend Grace Marie Turner advocates for this all the time. That's her only purpose in life these days, is to focus on basically what you're talking about. So why can't we get this done?
Well, the people who now control our $2 trillion, the insurers, the hospitals, the governments, we've given them a lot of power, $2 trillion, that's as big as the economy of China, and mm-hmm. we put it all in their hands. You know, they're not thrilled about giving it back to us and letting us control it, so they get in the way. They say we're too stupid to be able to buy health care.
Right, right.
That we're too frivolous, we're going to waste all the money. They say all kinds of awful things about the American consumer, but the truth is they want to hang on to the $2 trillion, and
the power.
As long as we let them, they're going to do it.
Because there's power there, isn't there?
With $2 trillion, well, there's a lot of power, and the way to keep that power is to make sure that they shape our insurance policies, not us, that they determine what hospitals are paid, not us, that they, the U.S. Congress has even encroached into the business of telling doctors how to practice medicine. So some senator or congressman, however brilliant they may be, they don't know what the heck you need and what I need. Only our doctors know that, but the Congress is telling them how to practice medicine.
One of the things that you recommend that you would do if you were president, Professor, is mandatory health care. Now, that's a little bit of a different spin. That's a little bit of a vector off of what I consider to be classic consumer health care.
Well, one reason for it is purely pragmatic, and that is the only way we're going to get consumer-driven health care is if people who want universal health care, meaning that everybody is insured, are lined up with us. Another very pragmatic reason is right now we give hospitals, which are the fattest part of the healthcare system, they account for nearly $400 billion of our excess costs, according to McKinsey. We give them huge subsidies to deal with the uninsured, and as long as one part is subsidized and another part is not subsidized, we're never going to have a level playing field for people to compete on.
Isn't that one of the things that Mitt Romney discovered about Massachusetts when he came up with his plan for mandatory health care in Massachusetts?
The funding for the Massachusetts health plan was going to come from the subsidies that were given to hospitals mm-hmm. for uncompensated care.
Because people who could afford health care were basically using the free services.
Some of them were. And
yeah.
That's not right, but mm-hmm. also it's not right to give hospitals billions of our money. And you know what they do with the uninsured, all too many of them. They screw the uninsured. They throw them out or they charge them the very highest prices they charge anybody.
But Professor, the thing that worries me about the mandatory health care thing is that puts the requirement for health care in the hands of our government. That leads us to, if the politicians can mandate that we all have health insurance, then what's the next step? And I don't like that kind of I don't like that direction.
It's a good point. So you're damned if you do or damned if you don't. I live in the real world. In the
yeah.
real world, I think it's only going to happen if we
So have. you don't really love mandatory health care. You just think it's a pragmatic proposal.
I think it's pragmatic for its passage. I think it's pragmatic because it will level out the playing field for hospitals and the new entrepreneurs who will want to compete with them.
I'd rather do things one step at a time. And the first step that I think we need to do, Professor, is we need to get small business health plans where small business owners can buy health care as a group across state lines. If we could get that passed, that would be the next step towards consumer-driven health care, I think. And we wouldn't have to have mandatory health care.
It would be a help to do that, but I wouldn't count on it as a magic bullet.
Yeah.
If you can go to states that don't have mandates, health insurance costs will go down by some. But our health insurance are 40% higher than everybody else.
Professor Herzlinger, we've got a lot more to talk about. Will you come back another day and talk to us some more about this?
Love to do it. Thanks so much.
Who Killed Healthcare is the book. Regina Herzlinger is the author. She's a professor at Harvard Business School and the godmother of consumer-driven healthcare. Thank you, Professor. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Kenneth Crozen. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.